well represented. I also have the presence of my biological mother with me here, Pastor Mrs. Maria Joseph. I also have the presence of my father. Now, please, hold on. It's not just for the sake of the dedication. I want to say this categorically that it takes a lot to allow your first son, when you are fully into ministry, you have a branch of ministry here in Uyo and as well in Calabar, it takes a lot of sacrifice and maturity to release your first son to do a work that is not the work you are doing. It takes a lot. And my father, this work you are doing here, my father has given me his full blessings for what you are doing here. And I don't take that for granted. Let's honor Reverend Gabriel Joseph. Thank you, sir. Can we honor him now? Would you do that? I tell you, if he had not blessed me, I would not be here. Come on, let's do that. Thank you, sir. Please, you can have a seat. While I was still talking, my friend and brother of the group church, God bless you, sir. We honor you for coming in. So, as Amanda is, sorry, I'm the one moderating the dedication. I would have us see the families, and I honor you, thank you so much for all you do. It's not been an easy journey, but I'm grateful for everything. I love you so very much. And thank you for choosing to do this with me. I could be difficult, I could be tough, I could be everything, but you had to bear this, not just for sake of our son, but myself. You had to make an enabling environment that allows me to do the call of God on my life. I honor you. I love you so very much. I respect you. And if I had a chance to do this again, I will still do it with you again and again. Just can you make it up for my dear wife? She's here. A celebrator. Thank you, sir. Thank you. If you can have a seat one more time. So with Jesus' joy, I'll be requesting. Was that emotional for you? Amen. So I have Uncle Alison and his wife, and I have Mama Rejoice here as well. Let's celebrate them. God bless you for coming. With Jesus' joy, I will be requesting that the very close immediate family and family friends will join us upstage shortly for the dedication of our baby. God has been faithful, but I'm sure my wife will have the testimony of how it happened eventually. And to have this dedication happen, please let's have the families join us on stage. Family, my immediate family, my in-laws can join us on stage. Friends of the family, David, you can come and please let's have families join us on stage, please. Have the families join us on stage. Yes, let's celebrate them, please, as they do that. Let's honor them. Yes, please, you can come. Let's celebrate them. Is that how much honoring my family? Amen. Restore. Amen. Let's have my wife and the baby come on stage alongside my mother-in-law. Come on, let's celebrate them now with you. All right. And at this point, with Jesus' joy, dedicate our first seed. We would like to request in standing ovation, let's receive the ministry of Apostle Arome Osai.
like us to take a moment and give Jesus a great clap of hand. If there are any set of people that the devil, if he had his way, would want to make an example, are the ministers of the gospel. Especially if he's able to score a point that looks like the wife of the pastor is not able to conceive. Such a situation is an imbalance, and it is likely to affect the fate of many people that do not have understanding. When God shows mercy in this wise, it is needful for us to acknowledge his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. I want to read from the book of Luke chapter 2. I know this altar area is full of seasoned preachers of the gospel, so I have to limit my presentation to the Bible. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer up a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Hallelujah. Just a quick one. It was an established injunction. It was a custom that was entrenched in the culture of the people of Israel to dedicate children to God, especially such a male child that opens the womb. The reason for this practice is because of the kind of deliverance that God brought to the children of Israel in the land of captivity. It was scheduled that the angel of death was coming to pay Egypt a visit. And by the workings, the operation of the gift of word of wisdom, Moses was able to know that a human being that day was equivalent to a ram. And so by this insight, he instructed that the house of Israel should sacrifice a ram to God. When the angel of death came to Egypt, the angel of death discovered that the firstborn of Israel, they were already sacrificed, because he could see the evidence of the blood, and that was what occasioned a Passover. So in the eyes of the angel of death, the assignment was carried out. It's just that some people helped him do the one that had to do with the household of Israel, and he went over and above to visit the Egyptian. So when this set of people that were saved by reason of that application of the gift of word of wisdom, when they came into the wilderness, God demanded that those set of people be dedicated to serve him. That if not for the wisdom that was made available to secure their deliverance, all of them would have been history. Hallelujah. And so there was a formal ceremony that had to be put in place in order for them to fulfill this age-long custom that every such child that opens the womb is dedicated to God. In the New Testament, there is a shift because the Bible calls the church of the firstborn. It means that the blood had to be squandered in order to secure our salvation. So whether male or female, we are firstborn, and all the rights and the obligations that accrue to the firstborn must have to apply to every indigene of the kingdom of heaven. In keeping with this, we come with rejoicing to the altar of God so that we can fulfill this custom that our fathers have worked in. Before we do that, it is needful for children to be dedicated to God because there is a regime in their life that is lived before they arrive the time of accountability. And in that regime, the parents are expected to take decisions for the child. The parents are expected to do things for the child, such things that can have an implication of the outcome of that child eventually in destiny. And so parents must be charged with the responsibility to therefore bring up these children so that when they arrive at the age of accountability, it will be easy for them to make a choice for Jesus. So, father and mother, hallelujah. It's very difficult to ask a pastor these kind of questions we normally, but in keeping with the custom of our ancestors. When I say ancestors, I'm talking about our apostolic fathers that charted the course of this great enterprise as it is enshrined in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Don't think of Ogugu or Amadio. May the Lord give you understanding. So, Pastor Japhet, do you accept the responsibility, therefore, to raise this child in the fear of God, being both revelatory and exemplary, such that when this child reaches the age of accountability, it will be easy for him to make a decision for Jesus?
Yes, I do, sir.
You can also extract a confession from him.
Yes, I do.
Hallelujah. So in view of their both, even their confession, we would like to know the name that you want to bestow upon this child. Is it written on a sheet of paper? Because I know you will soon pronounce an Akwaibo name that will be very difficult to...
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there is a move in you to laugh, laugh very well. Don't hold it. Today is a great day in the house of God. Hallelujah. Yes?
I'm not going to get the paper, but his name is...
Okay? So we're under pressure to ensure that I appear like an Akwaibo man today. I'm still not sure if I will fall... but the Lord will help us. Alright, so can you help us with the pronunciation?
Yes. Because his name is Ediomo, which means covenant. Jedidiah, the beloved of God.
Wait. This is the one I'm interested in. Ediomo.
Yes, covenant.
Can we repeat that name? Ediomo. Yes.
Jedidiah.
Huh?
J
Jedidiah.
Japhet Joseph.
Japhet Joseph. Ediomo, I will remember that. And you said it means
the covenant of God.
The covenant of God. In the entire Bible, there happen to be five covenants that the Lord established, and only one is old. That's a quiet pattern. We want to confer this name on this beautiful lad. When I saw him, I thought he's American. He's looking like a white man. Can we bless him as a congregation and confer these names upon him, that he indeed will be a child of covenant? His times, seasons, his understanding, his articulation will be triggered by the Lord, and that he will serve the will of God all the days of his life. It will be easy for him when he approaches the age of accountability to for Jesus Christ. Yes, his grandfather is a preacher, his father is a preacher, and he himself will be a preacher. It seems there is a lineage of preachers that the Lord is making out of the Japhet, the Joseph family. Confer blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring him to the Lord as the Lord's property. We restore him back to the God of heaven. For it is written that children are a heritage of the Lord, not the heritage of men, but the Lord. There is a genealogy of God that must be in the earth, so that the things that God releases upon the face of the earth can travel from one generation to another generation. And so we see what you are doing in the Joseph family. A genealogy of priests. It has pleased you to raise in this household. And so we confer upon this great seed that you have released unto us the name Idiomo, that he will be a covenant child, and no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper.
Amen.
If there be any insufficiency whatsoever in the family of your dad or mom, we cut it off.
Amen.
You will be a brighter, better. In the family of your ancestor, we put the name of Jesus upon you. Oh my God, when you stand with your colleagues, you will stand out, because God's hand will be your covering. The kind of affliction that the devil children will be far away from you, because the Lord's hand will be your shield. The Lord's hand will be your protection, and no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Oh Lord, once again we give you thanks and we give you praise for this great blessing that you have given unto us. We restore him to you, and we ask that you take charge of this destiny, and we send him to you in the name. We therefore dedicate the name of Dr. God the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus one more time. Thank you, sir. Now, please, in keeping with scriptural traditions, we are supposed to give a gift in honor of this gift that God has given to us. And we thought it wise that the way we are sweating in this place, not right, and we can't even get cooling units into this place, save for the fact of having to get plants that can cater for this. And please, we have packaged something, but we know it's still not going to be enough. What we are looking for to use and honor this gift God has given to us is we want to give God a plant, a generating plant. Yes. Generating plant. 100 kVA generating plant that can at least power the house of God, that there be light, there be sound, and the people of God are comfortable. And that is almost 10 million naira. Praise God. Praise God. And with your support, we want to redeem that vow. Amen. And have the destiny of this child redeemed. So please, we want to encourage you. We have something we've packaged already, but it will not be sufficient to cater for that. We know that this child is a prophetic seed for us after 2 years of marriage, and we don't want to take this lightly. So please, we want to encourage and crave your indulgence. The account details will be on the screen, and the ushers will help us run the baskets around. Whatever you can give in support of this, whatever you're giving now is towards that purpose. All right? And let it be that this is your way of celebrating with us over what God has done in our lives. Is that fine? So please, you can dip your hand in your pocket now, or you can make a transfer, and let the Lord bless you as well. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Let's celebrate Apostle. Let's honor our families as they lead. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you are doing that, you can do that quickly, and let's be sure you're doing that. You could just pass the baskets across, and let's do that quickly. Let's do that quickly. Let's do that really quickly. It's going to be a long evening. Let's do that quickly. Whatever you could just pass across into the basket, that will go for that course extensively. And if you're making an online transfer, please, the account details are on the screen. You could use either the Zenith Bank or the Diamond Access Bank. Any of those account details be much appreciated. Whatever you're giving, it will go for strictly that purpose alone. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. All right. So at this point, we will, just before we receive the ministry of the word, we'll have to receive the ministry of Minister Faith, all the way from the city of Jos, Haseron, the stream priest. Let's honor him. You're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Once again, you are welcome to Fresh Fire Conference 2021. At this moment, we'll be taking our offerings. Bible speaking in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. The emphasis there is the word honor. I love you wherever you are. Pick up your offering envelope and package something worthy of communicating honor to the Lord. If you are not with any offering envelope, kindly indicate. The ushers are on the aisle and they will do well to give you the offering envelope. Package something worthy of honor. Hallelujah. If you are a tither in the house or a partner in the house as well, please do well to package your tithe. Do well to also package your partnership seed. And please, if you are done with that, kindly step forward. If you are not with an envelope, also indicate. The ushers will give you an envelope. Package your tithe, package your partnership seed, and please kindly step forward. Let's do that very quickly. All tithers in the house, please kindly step forward. All partners in the house, kindly step forward very quickly. Very quickly, very quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, I still see hands here. Ushers, please do well to give the offering. I'm seeing hands here. Please let the offering envelopes go round. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You're with your title, with your partnership. Please ask him to come back. Hallelujah. Please kindly come back. And let's say this together. All our titles and partners. Hallelujah. Say, my job is not my source. Declared, my job is not. Thank you for your word is honored in my life, even now and always. Please kindly cast your tithe and your partnerships. Hallelujah. The rest of us, if you are done packaging your offering, please kindly rise on your feet, even as we honor the Lord. Kindly rise with your offering. You can also please make transfers. Alright, the account details are on the screen. You are making a transfer. Kindly make a transfer to the account details on the screen. You are here, you are overflow. Hallelujah. Those following online, the account details will also be on the screen. Please kindly transfer to either the Passion for Souls account or the Peace Ministry account. Hallelujah. You are done. Raise your offering up and say after me, Lord Jesus. Say louder, Lord Jesus. I honor you today with my offering, because you are worth more to me than money. Say, my job is not my source. My business is not my source. My salary is not my source. You are my source. And this is demonstrated with my offering. Say it loudly, I continue to be replenished and abound even more in generosity. Say, I thank you for your word is honored in my life, even now and always. Can we say amen? Please pass the offering envelope to the last person, all right, by your right. Just pass it across to the last person by your right, all right, and do well to cast your offering. Please have your seat. The Lord bless you. Cast it to the right person, all right? The last person by your right. The Lord bless you. At this point, you'll be receiving the ministry of Minister Caleb. Can you put your hands together for Jesus as he blesses us tonight? Hallelujah.
stars to your pleasing. Heaven's gates open up with understanding. You order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, rearranging the stars to your pleasure. Memorable, Leola.
receive our worship this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 11 years ago, God brought a man my way. 11 years ago, to bring interpretation to the things that he had committed into my hand. I felt I was doing the right thing until God linked me up to his servant. And that became the game changer for my life forever. 11 years ago, I was still a student on campus, year 2 precisely. I remember the message, Staying Power. That message changed the entirety of my life forever. And from then up till now, whatever you're seeing here, the gathering and everything here, has been as a result of following the grace of God upon his life. And sense of God, it is the 3 years of having him in our city. This is making the 3rd year. And I want to trust God that at this third impact, this third visit, something later will land upon our life that will cause a shift forever. I don't know why you are here. I don't know what you are expectant of. But with Jesus' joy, receive with me the ministry of my father, the Apostle Arome Osai. Come on now, let's do that for Jesus.
Once again, I personally want to salute Pastor Gabriel Joseph. Your son has been showing me your pictures, so I know how you look like, but I've never met you. It's a great honor to meet you today. Thank you for being here. And a friend of mine has been telling me a lot about Reverend Patrick. So I said, I salute Reverend Patrick Henry, and also my friend's dad, Dr. Thomas. You're welcome. Let us pray. Lord, tonight we ask that you cause your word to come to us like rain, with all of the powers of refreshing that heaven can give, even as it is written that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Father. What we seek tonight is such a thing that comes from your presence. Let your hand come down and be glorified tonight in the name of Jesus. Please, you may be seated. So much time has been spent already. I just want to take a shot from the Word of God. Just a shot. Turn your Bible quickly. Let's do John chapter 14. We'll do Acts chapter 1. Then we'll see how far the Lord will take us this evening. The Lord is strengthening his servant, Pastor Japhet. And I believe that you are in the future of that which God is set to do in this city. This is the time to labor. And may the Lord's grace rest upon you to do just that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we do John chapter 14, verse 15 to 20? This is Jesus speaking. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father, and the Father, I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I will try as much as possible to explain these verses of Scripture. But I need to open our eyes to the regime that Jesus is speaking about. Maybe we'll still need to get another Scripture to support this our journey, and that Scripture will be Acts chapter 1 from verse number 1. Hallelujah. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3 is my emphasis. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, in the book of John, chapter 14, where we read, Jesus was deliberately informing his disciples of a new regime in the administration of the economy of God that was about to be unveiled. In this new regime that is about to be unveiled, because you need to understand the dynamics of the regime in order for you to prosper from its peculiarity. In this new regime, the Jesus that used to be very visible, the Jesus that was bound to its single location per time, was going to become invincible. And there was a need for Jesus to occasion this transition effectively in the experience of his followers, so that they will be able to understand how to function within the context of the new regime that is about to introduce. For instance, you know, we read the book of Acts, chapter 1. Are you with me? Stay with me. We read the book of Acts, chapter 1, for instance. And you know, I said that verse 3 was my emphasis. The Bible says it was seen of them 40 days. There was a 40-day period between the time of his ascension, the time of his resurrection, and the day of his public ascension. Even though in between, the moment he rose from the dead, he spoke about going to appear before his Father. So I want to believe that it was his Father that granted him the request of having a 40-day period to interface with the functionaries that he was going to commit the enterprise of the kingdom of God to. And what he did within... You are not with me. Stay with me. What he did within the period of the 40 days was that he would just appear and begin to lecture them about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Then he would disappear. And the reason why he was doing this appearing and disappearing was that he wanted them to know that he was as much with them when he was invisible as he was with them when he was visible. Because he was trying to orchestrate a transition. Oh my. See, in the book of John, chapter 14, where we read, he began to talk about the regime that will be obtainable in the economy of God when the visible dimension of Jesus was no longer available. But what he was trying to achieve in the book of Acts chapter 1
was the gradual departures that will make them comfortable with the fact that even though they could not see him, he was readily available to them in the person of the Holy Ghost that we cannot interface with on the strength of our physical senses. But he opens to us a gateway to tap into the resources that are fully captured in the person of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost actually did not come to accomplish his own mission. The mission that the Holy Ghost came to accomplish is to make the throne, the office, the ministry that Jesus is accomplishing in the heavens, to make that office efficacious. So in keeping with that reality, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will not come to speak of himself. It's that which he shall hear. That is what he will bring. It's like a PA system. A PA system, a microphone cannot just begin to talk. It is what you send into the microphone that it passes across. It amplifies it. It makes it powerful. It makes it audible to people that are beyond the reach of your human voice. So there was a transition that Jesus was trying to orchestrate. A transition from the visible Jesus to the invisible Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like to show you a ceremony that took place in John chapter 20. But before we do John chapter 20, I would like to us to pick some of the substance that can be found in John chapter 14 where we read. First thing that Jesus said is that if you love me, these are parting statements. So when I was with you physically, if I ask you to do something, you will do it. Now there's going to be a test of your love. I will no longer be in your company, in your midst. And the proof that you love me is that you do what? Keep my command. If you are dealing with the invisible Jesus, the proof that you love him is that you keep his commandments. So the proof of love in this new regime is obedience. Just like the proof of trust in this regime is dependence. So Jesus begins to enlighten his people. When he was physically present, there was nobody that could refuse him. If he should say, do this, they will do it. But he said, no. If you love me now, then keep my commandment. And when I see that you are diligent keeping my commandment, which is the proof of your love, then I will pray the Father. There is a request I will make to the Father. And this request will be triggered by the fact that you love me and your love is revealed in your obedience. I don't have time to walk that scripture because of our constraint at the moment. Then I will show you how that it is easy for you to speak in tongues and still disobey God. I will show you that obedience is something that is intentional. You don't stumble upon it. I will show you that obedience is something you need to pray about so that you can practice. The moment you wake up and you say, Lord, I want to obey you today. I want to do just what you want me to do today. You will realize that before you close from work to come back home, you would have insulted an Okada man, insulted his ancestor. You would have almost fought twice. Because suddenly the devil will be interested in your flesh. When you didn't pray that prayer, you were modest, you were calm. But the moment you say, it is my wish to obey you, Satan will reveal to you an aspect of you that you are not aware of, which is the flesh. The flesh. It is a seed that the serpent sowed into the existence of our first forefathers. And the power of that venom is still in every man. The moment you say you want to obey God, then Satan is going to activate that venom. That venom that will want to make you respond to situations and circumstances according to the flesh. Meanwhile, Jesus said, if ye love me, do what? The basis of his government over your soul, I mean Jesus, is love. If Jesus wants to make you his captive, what he will do to you is that he will lavish love upon you until you feel a sense of responsibility to reciprocate it. If you have not come to that point, you will not be responsible. Because even the scriptures acknowledges that there are believers that are unreasonable. The moment you start becoming reasonable, seeing that Jesus gave his all to purchase you, then consecration will begin to mean something to you. Except you come to a point where you are willing to obey him as a matter of duty. It means you don't love him. And love for him is a platform upon which he entrenches the capacity of his government. A Christian without, that is operating outside of the government of God, is a loose cannon. It is still under the rhythm, the influence of the rhythm of his flesh, that he will still be functioning. But when you know that you have something with God, the kind of statement that Peter made, he says, silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have. Peter was saying, I have something with Jesus. And on the strength of that which I have, I can spend from it so that you can receive your miracle. When you start having something with Jesus, then you begin to take obedience seriously. Because you love him. There is a love connection. You can't see him grieved. Because you want to avoid every form of grief that is you are capable of triggering, you will avoid several things. It means that his hold on you is becoming firm. And the reason why it is so for you and not for the next person is because you love him. So others can do what they want, but me, I cannot, because I love him. These are instructions he gave to people that he was going to depart from. First thing he said to them was, what? I hope you know, once upon a time, Peter failed the principal love test. And he denied Jesus 3 times. One of the things that Jesus did when he rose from the dead was to orchestrate redemption to Peter's soul. So, are you with me? You're not with me. For every theologian that is here, it is my opinion that the book of John was supposed to end in John chapter 20. And I need to tell you why. If you're a theologian, don't fight me yet. Wait. Calm down. Can we start from... Are you there? Sorry, don't worry. I'm watching my time. The moment I believe... I'll just stop. Then we can continue tomorrow as the Lord gives us the grace. Can you do John chapter 20 quickly? First of all, before you start this study, let us go to John chapter 1 and find out the subject of the book. Are you with me? You know, when a book starts, there's things like introduction, so that you understand what you are likely to get from the book. Alright, so let's do John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse number 1. John chapter 1 verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I hope you know, in the entire Bible, there are three times you will find in the beginning. One of them was written by Moses. That's the beginning of creation. The remaining two was written by John. Right? John saw further into the eternal past than Moses, because he spoke about a time. Are you with me? I hope you know our God doesn't dwell in time, he dwells in eternity. So, in order to get a reference point for God, your reference point for God is contingent upon the insight he gives you into the past. And John saw the farthest into the eternal past. And he said that in the eternal past was a personality called the Word, the Logos. This personality called the Logos is actually the compendium of the purposes of God. He is an embodiment of everything that God wants to do. He occupies an administrative capacity. So if the council of the Godhead wants to achieve something, this is the administrator that pays for it, that goes to do procurement. This particular person was there in the beginning, and this person was God. Exactly. Now, so the subject of the book of John is an investigation into that personality that is called the Word. Okay? All right. So at this point, John is trying to attempt to explain this person that is called the Word as the Word. It's impossible to do that. But when you go to the next verse, it now tells us that it's this personality that is the Word that created all things. It suggests to us that when the Father made decrees, let there be light, there was an actual civil engineer that went down to make what the Father said come to pass. You will see some of his activities in the book of Genesis chapter 2 from verse 5 to 7. He is the personality that the King James calls the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, in Genesis chapter 2. The one that stepped out of the quadrant of the Trinity to come upon the face of the earth to do actual modeling. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril. The Lord God, that person was that's the pre-incarnate identity of this personality called Word. You're not with me. If you want to investigate this personality from the perspective of what he created, there is no end to the taxonomy of the things he created, because even till now, in fact, last week they just discovered a new species of fish. Last week. So you cannot exhaust the things he created. So the things he created, he can by no means define who he is. Then John now steps down his research again, because he brought it to the creative mode of the Word. There's no end to that. He still stepped it down again. He said, in him was the Zoe. And this Zoe was what? In him was life. And this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot. So John got it there. Because the only way you can study this personality is from his life. Are you with me? Meanwhile, if I take you deeper into the book of John, I will show you 18 things that Jesus did that no mortal can do. There were 18 advertisements to show that Jesus was actually a creator from the beginning. The God that was never created, but is in custody of a kind of life. This kind of life that is in custody of is uncreated and it cannot be destroyed. He manifested those dimensions 18 times in the book of John, because the book of John is the book of life. The investigation that is done in the book of John is about his life.
The book of Matthew talks about the kingdom and sees Jesus as a king. The book of Mark reveals that if God's purposes will be forged upon the face of the earth, he needs to give his servants a body so that you have something to possess. And Jesus was given a body and his father possessed him. And everything that he did was the will of his father. In him, God was defined. The book of Luke is the book of the universal grace of God that shows us the capacity of God to save. Whereas in Mark, he is the slave of God. In Luke, he is the son of man that stands on behalf of the human race so that through him and what is done to him, divine justice can be satisfied. But the book of John is the book of life. And John is actually studying the life that Jesus has as a means of understanding him and his purpose and his mission. Is that clear? Now, having understood that, go to the book of John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, are you there? Quickly, John 20. Can we read verse 30 and verse 31? Please don't forget why I'm doing all of this. I'm trying to show you that John chapter 21 was not supposed to be in the Bible. And then I will show you why it is in the Bible. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is a conclusive statement. The book was already completed. See, there are many signs he did, though, but they are not involved. They are not in this compendium. Exactly. Oh, you're not with me. Oh, if I had known that you are not with me, I won't come here. I have two scriptures and then we'll go home for today. Go to verse 31. Quickly. He said, but these are written, the ones that are written in the book, are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Are you with me? This is in conclusion. We have now discovered who Jesus, that word that was made flesh, we have discovered him. He is who? The Christ. That is his ministry that is running now in the heavens. He's in the capacity of the Christ. It's an office, it's a ministry. So, say, Jesus is the one that occupies the office of the Christ. That's first discovery in the concluding chapter. Those of you that have written projects, you know what we are talking about. This is conclusion. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of what? God. That's not all. And if you believe in this Jesus, you will have the kind of life that he had that was responsible for those 18 features that he manifested in the book of John. Is that clear? Is that clear? So this is the book of life. There are tales of life I can tell you about the book of John for 21 days. Each day we come, I tell you a tale. 21 days will not even be sufficient. Just the book of John. Because it's the book of life. It's everything written in this book. It's written so that you can know that he is the Christ. One, he's the Son of God. Two, and if you believe in him, you will have the same life. This is conclusion. Go to chapter 21, verse 1. Where's my... He said, after these things, that's after the book has finished, Jesus showed himself again. There was no need for him to show him. They were at the printers. They were about to roll the book out. After these things, the book was concluded. Then he showed himself again. But if you check 21, you'll see there's no new doctrine. There's no new message. What? Why did he come back? It is because Peter had backslided. Peter had gone back to fishing. Meanwhile, before he left, he said, if you love me, do what? So, Peter had lost his love for Jesus. And he remembered where he kept his net. He didn't burn it. So he went and recovered it. And was going back into to scale up his fishing business. And Jesus had to orchestrate a simulation. The kind of experience he had on the day Jesus met him. He toiled throughout the night, he caught nothing. So when he went to labor this time again, Jesus ensured that he caught nothing. Maybe his mind will now reflect. And the Jesus, are you with me? Jesus appeared, stayed at the beach. Jesus had fish. Three fish, not so many, three. The guy labored and came back. John said, hey, he's a Lord. It was John that recognized Jesus. Peter did not. He waited for him. He came and he was roasting fish. He didn't address John. He didn't address all the other guys. Meanwhile, the moment he said, I go a fishing, all the apostles followed him. His backsliding tendency was going to cost Jesus the entire enterprise. So Jesus had to appear again. It was not on schedule. He came back, put three fish on fire. So when Peter came, he asked him something. And he asked him thrice, according to the three fish. Lovest thou me more than this? He did that three times. Notice that Peter denied Jesus how many times? He had to restitute his deniers three times two. Three fish. You know why? It is needful for Jesus to know that you love him if he's going to be invincible. That was why Jesus punctuated the book and made an appearance again, just to ensure that now this is functionary, truly loves. Because if you don't love him, when he becomes invincible, so the first thing that had to be achieved is that we must know your heart of love for Jesus. It is your heart of love for Jesus that makes you take on the burden of sacrifice without feeling it. It's like an anesthesia. The burden of service to Jesus is heavy, but it is not like a burden to you, it's like a privilege. The moment you lose that love quotient, it will become so difficult for you to do it, because you'll begin to rationalize it. And Jesus needs to know if you love him. That's the first thing he had to do. In his marching orders before departure, he asked them, please help me ask your neighbor, lovest thou Jesus more than WhatsApp? Please, you were not so bold. Let's start again. Lovest thou Jesus more than Facebook? Most of you wake up early in the morning, the first thing you touch is your phone. Meanwhile, the first place of all things must be given to God. You are wondering why God is far. You don't love him. If we are going to deal with the invincible Jesus, we need to solve the love problem. That's number one. Number two. He said, when I notice that you are loving me. Meanwhile, according to the book of Songs of Solomon, I can show you 12 levels of that love. 12. When you walk on the 12th level, this world can no longer call you their own. They know that you have found something that you are in love with. Have you found somebody? Maybe in your secondary school you saw someone that was in love with marijuana. There is no physics you can teach that person. You see, because they love. They are not here. The love for weed surpasses any form of knowledge you want to communicate. It will not work. If you really love Jesus like that, at a point, it will become like a drug. It is only in that state where you are hypnotized by his love that he can say, leave the kind of job I was doing. You understand that? My last salary was 1.2 million. I was going for a crusade, and Jesus said, "When is your passport expiring?" He says, "Expiring on the 28th of September, 2020. He said, "Your job also expires that day. You need to be drugged under an influence for you to leave that job." That I was 2 weeks away from the exam that will qualify me to become a management staff. And by God's good grace, I don't fail exams.
Hallelujah.
By His good grace. 2 weeks away. He said, "It has expired. You need to be." My colleagues thought that someone from the village had finally succeeded on my life. In the hotel where we're supposed to gather, because they will camp everybody there, you are not going home again until you write and fail or you write and pass. Everybody reported. It was only me that was absent. And they had to call me from that place. Say, "Pastor," because they thought I went for a crusade and for God. But no, I didn't forget. I have resigned. They concluded. They said, "If we don't conclude today, something they follow this man." The question is, do you love Jesus? Because that's the only way He will have a hold on your soul to manipulate you. When you are about going astray and he allows you sense that he will be grieved, that becomes the handle through which he can call you to order. If you have something with him that is affectionate, that is passionate, that is private, that is, there are four meanings of love according to the book of Songs of Solomon. It is affectionate, it is private, it is personal, and it is hidden. People cannot understand the reason for your choices. It is rooted in the fact that you fell in love. And the full course outline of the love relationship that Christianity is, that is supposed to graduate from one level to another level to another until it reaches its ultimate terminal, is enshrined in the book of Songs of Solomon. It might start in an affectionate manner, but it will journey into the sacrificial corridor. It will actually lead you to the altar of sacrifice. It is more brilliant when you have decided to be sacrificed. That's when you can let go your battles, your fight. You have something with your brother, you want to, you can let go. You can allow people cheat you because of God. You can allow people trample upon you because of God. It's not as if you have lost the skills of your hands. Your hands are still healthy, but there's nothing to give your hands command because your heart has been captured. Many of us don't journey long enough. You just come and check and say, "This is what I it's in depot." And you stay at the periphery. You will never know the depths of the kingdom of God into which we have been translated. You will never know. And how much poverty there is in the body of Christ today. I mean, poverty of the reality of God. Ministry in our time has been reduced to marketing and management and customer care. It's an enterprise that runs with a business mind. And the economics is a critical factor. You can do that in the name of ministry when there is no love. But the more you navigate with Jesus, the more your path becomes narrow. Until the options are no longer very many. When you are like that, people can take advantage of you. Like if you marry a wife that is carnal, seeing that your options are not many, say, "Eh-heh." Because he knows you won't fight. Not because you lost your skills, but someone captured you here. And it is in the interest of your love relationship to to allow yourself look like a fool. It's human beings that thought you are a fool, but in before him you are a champion. So you can afford to allow people to judge you from the perspective of their carnality. Meanwhile, you are brazen in the spirit. Yes, I choose to be brazen. I choose to be brazen in the spirit. Is it possible for you to have someone in my household that I was feeding was in league with enemies that wanted to destroy me? You understand? I discovered in the place of prayer and I held it for 3 years. Because the great one had not spoken. The fact that he makes you to have access to insight, he has not yet given you the wisdom on how to administer it. If you take off, you started in the spirit, you want to, you become wise suddenly. And you want to finish in the flesh. No. After 3 years, my wife sent the lady to serve me food. I was about taking the food and Holy Ghost spoke here. He said, your pastoral walk over this lady has finished. And the lady came suddenly and said, she wants to discuss destiny with me. I said, you are right. My pastoral walk over you, he just finished this night. She thought I was joking, but the great ones. Guess what happened? When she left my house, I mobilized her to go back home. She ran mad after 1 month. You know why? Because it was God that did that. I didn't pray for madness. You understand what I'm talking about? You don't understand. Let me leave you. Let me leave you. I don't care how you see me. No. It is how he sees me. There's something I have with him. I can afford for you to estimate me as nothing. If that will serve his will, then so be it. The first thing he had to bring to their knowledge was this. If you love me, keep my command. I left that job, 1.2 million every month, and he won't allow me to take salary from the ministry under which I'm pastor. I've never been paid from the ministry under which I'm pastor. But people have been paid, though, but he said, me, no. We finished building an auditorium and it's like 3 times this size. Finished it. And he said, hand over. Hand over there. Will you do that? Okay. What did he say? By January next year, I will no longer be a signatory to anything. We'll go and change the signatures. You know what he told me? He said, if you want to meet me now, I'm in the nations waiting for you. And if he said I should hand over, it means he will fund my trips outside of what we have done. You understand what? If I cry here, Jesus will come. If I cry, he will come here. I know. The first thing he told them, if you love me, keep my command. The love quotient in the body of Christ are so diminished that most of what we do is mechanical. Doesn't strike any chord in the realm of the spirit. Never forget that scripture. It said the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. There are some things that are fastened into the foundation. You can manipulate the substructure, but you cannot manipulate the foundation. That's the first thing he said. In those days when I will become invincible, your love life, which is revealed by your level of compliance as it has to do with obedience, is critical. a certain guy, he's much older than myself, and in the place of prayer, the Holy Spirit told him, go and follow that boy. Go and follow that boy. He came, sat at the back, saw me, and I preached. He said, this boy wants me to follow. He doesn't know that we are old. It will be difficult. You know why? You don't love him. If Baba shows me, tells me now, I should come and sign up and I will follow you. Because I don't have a personal agenda. If it will serve him, I mean. If you love me, keep my command. Keep my what? So I worked in the public sector for 16 years. My salary was above $1 million and above for 11 years. So if I wanted to chase any woman, I had the ability. Even the ones that were born in palaces. I have a gift. It's oratory. Michael Selly Cabellia Comela. But the question is, if you love me. When they stole my car in Lagos, meanwhile, he showed me 3 days before it happened. I told my wife, I saw that they stole our car. And the angel that spoke to me said, don't look for it. 3 days later, they stole the car. My wife put. When I came back from work, I saw the whole place pet up. I called on them. I said, this is the last time we will speak about this car. 14 days later, I was in the bathroom when he came. See, you have showed that your heart is not in that which is material. So I'll give you enough of it. The matter here is, do you love him? The orientation of the kingdom as touching material things and financial things is this way. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be your passion. Because everyone that seeks things, mammon possesses their soul. He said, the things that the Gentiles seek will navigate in your direction. If this is not the texture of what you preach at prosperity, you lied. You lied to the people. When you begin to become obsessed about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, then God begins to fund you. Begins to fund the purpose that you are beginning to administer, that you are faithful upon. It navigates in your direction. And anything that you need to fulfill your divine purpose, it navigates in your direction. The moment you turn your back and begin to seek things, mammon, it will possess your soul. And when it does, it will give you a new outlook to life. It will give you a new goal. That goal will blind you to everything that is of God. You will still be speaking church language, but you are no longer for Jesus. Because the Bible says that no man can serve two masters. And he said it is impossible for you to serve God and mammon. What you serve is a proof of what you love. If you find someone that is hooked on weed, you can't get the person to leave weed. If you find someone that is hooked on idolatry, there is nothing more seducing like idolatry. You check today, say, make we check tomorrow. What you serve, the key to your service life is your love life. And as you journey in love, it takes you to the altar of sacrifice, where your own will no longer features. But it's the will of him that you serve that becomes your command. In that day, when you arrive at that point, if someone fights you, he's not fighting you as an individual because you've emptied yourself of your agenda. Attempting to fight you is to fight the will of God. That's why God will step up. And in a battle situation, that's the safest place to be, in the front line. If you love me, you will keep what? My command. Then Jesus said, and I will pray the Father. Your love is going to compel me to pray in heaven. I will pray the Father that he might send unto you another comforter. Jesus used the word aloes, which is the same word for aloe vera, which means different. In the Greek, there are two words for different. Heteros means different, of a different kind. Aloes means different, but of a the same kind. I will send you aloes parakletos. I will send you another comforter, but of the same kind. Are you with me? What characterizes this regime that I'm talking about is the use of the word another that Jesus used in that day. It's just like those days while we're still on campus, there was this course that was a theoretical course. And if you give us a theoretical course, we score A. So we have counted that one as A. Until the lecturer went on sabbatical leave. And a certain lecturer was deployed to come take the course. He had a master's degree in physics. He had a master's degree in quantum chemistry. He had a master's degree in mathematics. He had a master's degree in electrical electronics engineering. He had a master's degree in botany. Before, in the university in Germany, they conferred DSC upon him, Doctor of Science. His notes were in German. He can teach in any science faculty under heaven. So when that other guy went for sabbatical, they brought this man to come take the course. And he transformed the theoretical course into a mathematical course. In fact, the first day of the course, he derived Schrodinger equation. Guess what happened? We all failed. We failed not because the course changed. We failed because the lecturer changed. Jesus is introducing a new lecturer. Aloes Parakletos. And if you don't know the ways of this lecturer, you will fail the course. Just like many Christians have failed the course of Christianity. Many people think that succeeding in business means God is with you. Go and find out. Check your newspaper. The richest man in Nigeria is Dangote. You don't know. You have not gone far. If you think that anything material is suggestive of the fact that the hand of God is upon you, you don't know the spirit realm. People that serve idols, stay with me. People that serve Satan well, the ones that are close to Satan, they are wretched. Go and find out. If you see a native doctor that is in Lekki, he has forgotten the trade. He has lost it. He has forgotten it. Ask him to go to government house. He will not go. There is something he's seeing there. He calls you a foolish man for going to the university. The best native doctors are in the villages. The best preachers. We need to import village life into their house. If your members buy you a water bed, let your wife sleep on it. Look for her to sleep on hard ground so that you can wake up in the night. You must import village life into your ecosystem. If not, the next time you say hallelujah, there will be no response from heaven. I know you will still say, this man preaches hard. What I'm giving you is therapeutic. It's analgesic. It will cure the ailments of the flesh. Check the book of Psalms. People that have seen that glory, that light, they will keep gazing to look upon it again. Nothing is as addictive as the presence of God. You don't understand. Okay. My friend told me about you. There's nothing on earth that can make this man leave. Nothing. There's nothing. But when the God of glory appeared unto our ancestors, Abraham, he was into idolatry. It was his family that was given to the priesthood of all of the Chaldees. Abraham had known the ways of the goddess of sin that happens to be a fertility spirit. In fact, part of the punishment for absconding was that his wife had to be barren by the hand of that spirit. And the proof that Jehovah was the creator was that he could break the power of that goddess. Everybody felt that was the light, because all of the Chaldees was the light. Every other part of the world was darkness. It's just like USA now. Somebody say, I'm going to Namibia. That's from, they will say, spirits are fighting you. When a man sees glory, everything that the world thinks is elevated becomes dung to him. If in your walk with God you have not left anything to look for Jesus, you are a fraud. You are a fraud. My lecturers, my ultimate plan was to be a lecturer. And the reason why I wanted to lecture was so that I step into the lecture hall without notebook. Because I have ability to cram. And I just put the note on my head and put my hand in my pocket and give structures and notes. They say, that guy is a modicum of knowledge. I wanted to end that name. See how mundane a man's vision is. So for Jesus to help the boy, he said, this thing I've given you, lecturing will not exploit it. You will lecture, but the Bible. Ha! I never knew he was offering me the greatest honor of all times. To be a functionary that will labor in the word of God and in doctrine. So that in a day like this, where even old men form the distraction of younger people, they begin to point to something that our ancestors, the apostles, never pointed to as the goal of the gospel. That they could rise up through those ones that have been looking intently at the glory and begin to educate the nations about the way of the Lord. There is nothing greater than what he gave me. Nothing. So from yesterday night till we came out, I've been looking at the scriptures. That's how I catch my form. Sometimes he begins to speak through the book. It becomes so intense, I have to leave it. A day came, my wife said, give me this. I told her, it's a personal wear. It's not transferable. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's a personal wear. It's a personal. Oh, my time is spent and we have not taken off. That's the button. Oh my God. And I don't want to abuse the privilege that my young friend has given me. So we'll continue tomorrow. Trust me, we have not started. Because I need to tell you how he prepared them for that regime. Said, if I don't see the nail prints, if I don't see the effect of the spear by his side, I will never believe. Because he showed up when Thomas was absent. And after 8 days, he appeared again. And he came into their midst. When he said, peace be unto you, he went straight to Thomas. Meanwhile, he was not there when Thomas was telling, giving the conditions for his believing. Went straight to him. You can sample my hand. And you can put your hand by my side and articulate it. Then Thomas shouted, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe." He said, "Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet believe." He was preparing the ground for the regime of the invincible Jesus. "I have not seen you, but I yet believe, and I'll believe unto the end." Can you tell Jesus that in a moment? "I have not seen you, but I yet believe. And my believing will not wane. Poverty will not make me to stop believing. Sickness will not make me stop believing. I will keep believing. Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet they believe." He said, "I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God," he was beseeching them, "to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this shall be your reasonable act of service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The surrender continues until your mind changes, until you see things through a different vista, a different lens, until your perception is altered, until your comprehension is altered. It never ends. That is when you can prove. That is when you can judge things by the judgment of God. The illumination of your heart becomes the reason why you can judge right. Oh, I will love you till the end. Even when the battle rages, I will still say, "You are faithful." When the storms come my way with all of their strength, I will still glorify you. Because that which I have with you transcends time, transcends poverty, transcends good health. My soul longs for you as the deer pants for the waters. And this shall be the story of my life. A man of Lord Jesus. The time has come for the Lord to begin to raise lovers of God. It is something that this world cannot understand, cannot comprehend. Moses don't need more than this, Simon by Jonah.
a song I want you to sing for me quickly. Oh, I just need like three of you, not so many people. Do you know this song that Lawrence sang? My lover,
your baby is singing. I only sing as I'm singing for the rest of eternity.
I say in the name of Jesus.
I can't hear you.
I say in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow is for healing, deliverance. Today is for dedication. There's a solemn atmosphere here that the Lord wants to walk through to reach your heart. Can you stop speaking in tongues, please? Oh, no, you are wrong. Now, also, help me. The people that can't control themselves, just take them to the corridor. It's a place of ventilation. You can offload at the corridor. But we want to do something now. And your inability to stop will not stop us. So, ushers, please take them to the corridor. There's a serious matter we need to accomplish tonight. Ushers, can you please help us? Sometimes we speak in tongues and our heart is not coming with us. The beast, ushers, what is happening? Tonight, the matter tonight is deep. We can't pray it in tongues. No one has ever given his life to Christ on the crusade ground in tongues. You will need to, if you want to make a commitment to God, it's in simple, plain language. Those are the great decisions that can pave the way for a walk of destiny. So if you can tonight, from now, don't speak in tongues. Now, want to engage. When I decided to accept this call, everybody fought me, my family. My parents are not idol worshippers. They were the ones that showed us the way of salvation. But I began to study my Bible in the night from 10 o'clock to 5 a.m. And I continued. That was when I started having it. I had to make a deliberate decision not to study my Bible at home for peace to reign. But when I go to campus, before I open a chemistry textbook, I know how many Bibles I finished. I was able to progress in my Christian life because I made a great decision. Not because there were no sufficient oppositions to stall my movement. And the decision I made was, Jesus, I want to follow. Give me the grace. And I did not say it in tongues. Give me the grace to love you till the end. That's the kind of prayer I want you to pray today. Give me the grace. Grace to love you to the end. Can you bow your head and tell Jesus that in your own words? You don't need to shout. Let your heart talk. Let your heart talk to him. Tomorrow will be charismatic. Signs and wonder. But today, I want you to meet with Jesus and speak to him. The grace to love you till the end. The grace to exalt nothing above you. Nothing. The grace to walk with you even when I stand alone. Please, if you can help it, don't speak in tongues. If you can help it, please.
the grace to be faithful even when all the hordes of darkness and people close to me feel that my life is a contradiction. If you can, ushers, if you find someone speaking in tongues, take the person for ventilation outside. Just whisper to him. This is why we came. So that we might cut covenant with him. The church is becoming shallow. A place without values. A place without a culture. A place without a goal. The recovery begins with you tonight. The recovery begins with you. The grace to stand when everyone else has fallen. The grace to be such a man that you can come to and pour your heart when there is no one willing to listen. The right of way to detain me until you can get my heart to hear the rhythm that is flowing from your frequency. Make my well deep, my personal well. Let it be deep. Let it not be peripheral. Let it not be on the surface. I want to travel deep with you. If you can, don't speak in tongues. If you can manage it, speak in your understanding. The grace to be able to reject sin when it is being advertised. All kinds of sin that binds the souls of men. The grace to reject it. To reject what will soil my commitment to the essence of the cross, which is a legal statement that changed everything. And my confidence will not be drawn from anything of this age. And even if I boast, let my boast be in you. Tonight, such things as men will count gain cause me to see them as dung because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. If at any point in this prayer you find it difficult to form vocabulary to talk to him, it means there is a barricade of sin. You can also say, oh Lord, have mercy. It's a triangular prayer. You can also say, Lord, have mercy.
Sing, shouting for the rest of eternity. My Father, your baby is singing. I will be singing and shouting, dancing for the rest of eternity. Shinege, your baby is singing. I will be singing and shouting and dancing for the rest of eternity. Only you, only you. Only you, only you, only you, only you are God. Till the end, only you. Till we meet, only you. Only you.
Can cast away that thing that has stolen your heart. You were on the highway of a revival intimacy with Jesus Christ and something stole your heart. You can cast it away. Everything that makes you slow down are the things, the same things that make people fire up.
Not just born for 2 hours, not just born for 30 minutes. It will go beyond here and transcend to the depths of our being. But even when we leave this meeting, these words will burn like flames in our heart. And even as we come tomorrow, I don't know how many of us see this word as a timely word. It's pungent, like just. May our love for Jesus stand the test of eternity. May it stand the test of eternity, not time. May our love for Jesus stand the test of eternity. In the name of Jesus. So tomorrow morning again, we are back here. We are going to be having a morning session by 8 a.m. Now we will have to fix a lot of other things closely because you can have your seat, please. You can have your seat. God bless you. Have your seat. Tomorrow is going to be a bit more interesting because it's going to be a minister's session actually. So majorly the target will be ministers, but I mean everyone, church workers and as well can come in, but the focus will be ministers. We have over 300 pastors that are already here on ground, but I mean it'll be open for everyone to be part of, but the focus most importantly will be ministers of the gospel. And then tomorrow evening we'll have miracle service, and like mentioned, if you don't have an expectation card, there will be expectation cards at the foyer outside. Please do well to pick the expectation cards and feel what you're trusting God for. We'll have Papa speak over everything. We'll bring all those cards here by the end of tomorrow's evening session, and he will speak over it. And you want to trust God that that which was seemingly impossible will be turned into a testimony in the name of Jesus. This meeting is not for Pistis, please. This meeting is not for Pistis, please. This meeting is for the whole of Akwa Ibom State. Alright? This is not our meeting. This is a meeting for this state. Okay? So very importantly, let your friends know that God is working here. I know we have filled up the hall. The gallery is filled up. The overflow is filled up. But there is still space for more. Amen?
So let them know that God is doing something mighty here, and they should be a part of it. So tomorrow morning we begin again. 7 a.m. we are praying from 7 till 8. It's a stretch prayer session. Alright. And then we mount up by 8 o'clock. And we'll have Apostle come up early so that just then we can have the word and he can have enough time to bless us. Alright. He came to be a blessing. He came to be a blessing. How many of us have enjoyed and received Apostle's ministry? Yes. Let's glorify God. Amen. 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 And I believe that from here the coordinates will be set for the things that God is committing to us to in a generation. Many of us which we'll get from here will last us for another 5 years. Will last us for another 10 years. Will become the templates for another 25 years of our lives. Alright? So please come with that mind. Okay? Now, very importantly, you had come in late and you're a first time guest. And you're here. Can I see you wave your hand? First time guest, but you came in late. You were not here when we received first time guests. Can I see you wave your hand? Can I see you wave your hand in the audience? Am I seeing hands? Can I see you wave your hand? All right, God bless you. Can we celebrate them? Please lift, just wave it. God bless you. So please don't be in a hurry to go at the end of service. Just for 5 minutes, we'll speak with you at the left, which is actually your right, okay? Shortly. And then very importantly, you had missed out in giving up the offerings and all of that. There will be a basket at the foyer there where you have the reception stand. There will be a basket there so you could just get to give your offering there. And we trust the Lord to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Has this conference been a blessing to you? Are you sure? So tomorrow morning we are using tees. We are using t-shirts for tomorrow morning's service. And it's going to be an exclusive time of teaching in God's presence. And then evening we'll be having partition. Then Sunday evening we will have no Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Please take note of that. There will be no Sunday morning. We'll have Sunday evening. Amen. And we won't have Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. That's the template we want to run with. So it's your Sunday evening. Aside this period, every other week we meet is only Fridays, 5 p.m. Amen, somebody. Yes. And we trust that even as we continue in this place, that which God has designed to do for us in this season will not elude us in the name of Jesus. All right. I have my friend, Pastor Victor from RC and Abba. Let's celebrate him. God bless you, man of God. God bless you for coming. Pastor Samuel, celebrate you. Let's honor Pastor Samuel. God bless you, sir, for coming. I had my in-laws that came in while we had finished. Let's celebrate them as well. God bless you, Inspector Basi. God bless you, ma. God bless you. They came in when we're almost done. Thank you so much for coming. The Lord bless you. This is going to be another heavier measure tomorrow. Let's rise as we share the grace and fellowship. We return tomorrow. Please, at the overflow stands, please, those of us that have not made given our offerings at the overflow stands, that's overflow 1, overflow 2, overflow 3, outside, please, it's a good time to do that, please, at all the overflows, all right, and ushers, please, emphatically, the basket should go around now, the basket should go around now for that purpose, the basket should go around now for that purpose, all the overflows, all right, now, I mean, we don't want to come and make put pressure that the meeting has cost us this much. The meeting has. But of course, you know, this meeting has cost us. Amen. There's no way we would have had to fix this up. Of course, a lot has gone into it. All right. But what you're doing is a mark of honor to God. All right. And let's be intentional with it. So you can do that. And those of us that are watching what I'm doing now, I'm sure the account details should be on the screen. Media, help me with the account details on the screen. And we would have to allow Papa take.